Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Funny story for you. I was making my coffee this morning. Just a few minutes ago, I was making my coffee and getting ready for the program. And I was walking by the window. My son was eating some cereal, and he's seven. And there was a wild turkey crossing the street. We live on an old dairy farm. It's no longer close to a dairy farm. It's been quite developed, but you still see some critters out there. And so this wild turkey's crossing the street. And I said, son, come here, come here. And I had him climb up on this little ottoman thing to look out the window. We got a big window in the front of the house. He's looking right at it. He goes, where is it, Dad? I'm like, right in front of you. Oh, there it is. And he kind of said it loud. And you could see the turkey kind of speed up a little bit. And I opened the door for him to see it. And it just shot into the high grass. I don't know. It's, I would say hay or something, wheat or whatever, but I think it's just tall grass. So it's just like tall grass across the street, just shot into it. And, it made me think of the next chapter in Genesis. In Genesis 9, there is a verse there. Let's see here. Verse 2, and the fear of you that be man, and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. The fear of you, you know, all animals will fear you. That's what God tells Noah and mankind. And we just see a little boy, you know, a little seven-year-old boy, and that turkey was terrified. At the creak of a door, that turkey ran off. And isn't that just so true that in life you see God's hand just at work, and you see just whether it's, you know, at their kid's soccer game yesterday, someone had brought a dog with them, and, you know, the dog was on a leash. That dog was obeying the master. The master is the human, you know, not the other way around. It's incredible how God works. And we see it with just not just domesticated dogs, but wild turkeys. And I just thought it was fitting here today. But, I guess he could have waited maybe a day if I don't get to Genesis 9 yet. But I'm just teasing. I think it's perfect. I see it all the time that we just, you know, I always talk about the whale shark in Atlanta. If you ever get a chance to go to Atlanta, there is an aquarium there, the Georgia Aquarium. It's fantastic for a lot of reasons. One reason is they have a massive whale shark that is literally like the size of a house. It's huge. And I just, you know, you think of that whale shark is dependent upon man. You know, it's like, how did this work out? You know, the whale shark could contain many men in its body. And yet we have dominion over that massive, massive fish. It's incredible. So that being said, we're still on Genesis. You know, we're talking about Noah. We're talking about water. You know, we're still there. We're in Genesis 8. And last episode, we talked about God speaking and Noah acting. And we're going to pick up right where we left off as soon as we return from this break. So stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. All right. So here we are back from the break. And we have God speaking to Noah, verse 15 of Genesis 8. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And so we have this command from God, and the broader application for you would be, am I being obedient and listening to what God's commanding me to do, or am I getting ahead of God? Or has God been commanding me to do something and I'm getting behind God where I'm not doing it, right? Noah saw, he beheld this dry land, and yet he waited for God. And when we look at the biblical timeline of the flood, he waited some time. It wasn't, you know, like an hour or two, you know. There were days that passed. So are you waiting on God to be obedient to him, but also acting when he calls for you to do something. That's the kind of the personal application. And we could spend a lot of time talking about it, but I won't. I think you get the point that there is this beautiful dialogue taking place between Noah and God, and that comes forth through obedience. So we see how Noah's obedient and God's communicating with Noah directly. Throughout the Bible, when you see that God is speaking throughout the Bible, typically he has a mouthpiece. He has a prophet. He has somebody that he is speaking to, and then they are going and speaking to God's people, right? So oftentimes you will have, you know, the man of God, right? The son of man. You'll have Ezekiel, for example. He'll say, okay, Ezekiel, God will say, I want you to go tell man this, this, and this. Or Jeremiah. Sometimes God will tell these prophets not to say a word, but to do a certain thing, right? To walk around naked, you know, to move out of their house. I mean, he does all kinds of things as he's trying to get the attention of his chosen people, right? Now, why wouldn't he speak to them directly? Well, one obvious reason is because they were disobedient. When you read about why the Israelites were being chastened by God and why they were given over to captivity, idol worship, coveting, commingling with the people they were not supposed to commingle with, being disobedient, just clearly not listening to God, having rank unbelief, on and on. And that goes back, you know, all the way Adam and Eve, right? Being disobedient, the sin curse entering into the world, all the way from there to, you know, you've got Cain and Abel. And then even as God delivers them through miraculous power through Moses himself, as he splits the Red Sea open, delivers them from the bondage of being enslaved to the Egyptians. Not only that, but like it's crazy. It's funny. You know, it's funny. They leave, which fulfills prophecy, with the Egyptians giving them gifts. So the Egyptians have been so cursed by them being held captive there that they're literally giving them their jewels, giving them all that they have just to get them out, right? So they are not only leaving by God's power, but they're leaving rich, and they're leaving in a great multitude, millions and millions as we understand it. And they came in as what? When if you understand the captivity started, how did the Jews get there, right? It was Joseph, right? And then he brings dad over eventually in the end, Jacob, right? And the 12 tribes, that's how it started. So it started with just a small group, and it ends with them leaving prospered in the millions. Which, by the way, if anybody studies the captivity, why Pharaoh was so hard-hearted on a practical level, it may deal with the fact that they were really blessed. And so what they did worked. So like, why would you have the most profitable servants you're ever going to have. You never would want them to leave. But regardless, after the firstborns are taken, after the Passover, after all of these plagues, Pharaoh says, enough, you can go, and then regrets it, and he's going after them. God delivers the Israelites in this miraculous way, in a way that's hard to even fathom, that he splits the sea. They're delivered on dry ground. They're delivered. God wipes out the enemy. He does everything. And then how quickly do they fall into unbelief, into murmuring, into pagan idolatry, all in the wilderness? That's why every one of those elders, save Caleb and Jacob, were wiped out. It's incredible. Joshua, Caleb and Joshua. I said Jacob, I knew that. No, it was Joshua, Caleb and Joshua. Everyone else, they were wiped out. Why? Because they were disobedient. That's why God often would use prophets. He couldn't stand them. He'd say, I'm not going to talk to them. You talk to them because of their disobedience. And so here you have Noah that's obedient, found righteous before God, and God speaking him face to face. You want another example? Look at Job. Job had everything. He was perfect before God. He had everything going for him. He had everything taken away. He was proud in his humility, if you would say. I don't know how else to say it. He was a little puffed up in the sense that he was thinking, hey, you know, I didn't deserve this. And guess who speaks to him directly? You have this mysterious person come up to speak to him, right? But then you also have God show up in the midst, and you have God speak to him directly. Amen. And that mysterious person was Elihu. So you have Elihu that speaks to Job, and then you have God showing up in a whirlwind, speaking to Job directly. And if you ask me why I think he spoke to Job directly, Job was obedient. And so he had direct communication with God. Another example, Moses. Moses was obedient to God. And God spoke to Moses directly. Now, I know that there was a time when Moses lost his cool and so forth, but by and large, Moses was incredibly obedient to God. And there's a great verse, I'm going to look it up, that speaks to this. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, Moses believed that God truly is real, is alive, is near, has a plan, has all power, that what the riches he would receive from God would be far greater than the riches that he had in front of his eyes, being part of Pharaoh's kingdom. He was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh. He had all earthly wealth at his disposal, and he turned away from it. He was obedient. God said, okay, you're obedient, you're humble. I'll spend 40 years with you in Egypt, 40 years with you in the wilderness, then 40 years with you with the Israelites, and speak with you directly. You see? And so obedience helps us to understand that, you know what? We can have fellowship with God on a deeper level. And conversely, when we're disobedient, then God won't have anything to do with us. And that is the idea of being reprobate, being backslid, being given over to a reprobate mind, the idea that the Lord will hand over to you what you desire. So we always get mad at the false preachers, and they will pay their very, very high price in hell for misleading people. But think on the other end of it. The people that are going to listen to those false preachers, the biggest advocates for those false preachers, the biggest fans, if you will, of those false preachers, maybe God's giving to them what they desire to hear, right? So their ears, they want to have their ears tickled, right? They desire to have no real meat of the word. They don't want to be convicted of their sin. So God says, fine, I'll give you someone that'll provide that to you. But in the most unbelievable way, the irony of that is, while God is satisfying a desire in you that is not good, you then are lulling yourself to sleep, so to speak, not understanding that God really wants a relationship with you, but you have to get to the point of being able to accept him at his word. Noah didn't say, hey, God, the ground is dry, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this, this, and this. What's that called? That's called presumption, right? Noah would presume, he would presume that he can do whatever he wants, presumptuous, right? You never want your child to be presumptuous. You know, that all three of my kids, I tell them all the time, don't presume this. Don't think this, right? Don't just presume this, this, and this, okay? Listen, right? And so God wants us to listen and be humble as Noah did. And when we listen to God and pray to God and seek the Lord, we're blessed for it. And we see this blessing occur in the salvation of Noah and his family through his faith in God and the ark. We see that blessing occur in our lives through the salvation in Jesus Christ. And through our faith in God, who he is the ark, amen, how God shut Noah in, and then God tells him, speaks to him and says, okay, now it's time to go off. And that's a beautiful picture that we see, full circle moment there, what we see of what God is doing. And we see it's not just Noah and his family, it's also the animals. Verse 17, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, with all flesh, fowl, cattle, creeping thing, creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Now, why would God say, you know, it's interesting. He says, you know, just look at it forensically. He says, go forth out of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee, and with all this flesh, all the fowl, all the cattle, all the creeping thing. Why would God do that? He does that to help the reader understand that everyone's alive, that everybody made it, that there were no casualties, that there were no emergency plans with God, that his perfect plan survived the worst flood the world has ever seen because he is in full control. So we see the sovereignty of God in this itemization of who God is telling to come off the ship. We see God's sovereignty at play. Never forget that. For time's sake, I'm going to stop there, but we'll dive deeper into Genesis 8. Hopefully we're going to wrap this book up very soon. Next time. So tune in. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless. And amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.